Yet this picturesque scene, which could have easily been the cover of a home and garden magazine, was revealed to be, under the surface, a gruesome tableau of a fallen family.
Oh.
Foul play was afoot.
Tableau.
Yes. This Thanksgiving, as five corpses sat around the untouched meal.
Ew.
Exactly.
This is Thanksgiving, the musical. It's not the casual they miss. If you want culture, go fuck yourself. Cause that is not what this is.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is. Or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, Thanksgiving. And to kick off this Thanksgiving theme episode, I want to talk about a film that is near and dear to my heart. The original Thanksgiving, which there was a musical that was in a festival that I put on years ago called Thanksgiving the Musical. Fantastic.
It was such a funny
just
show.
Just a romp.
Yeah.
Hijinks ensued on stage. So I was like, well, what happened? They made this movie in like 2009. It was a holiday horror spoof. These two filmmakers from Ohio, they just made it themselves. I think they had a budget of a few thousand dollars,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
And they did everything themselves. It's about this evil turkey who is resurrected on an Indian burial ground by some hapless co-eds, and he just starts terrassing around the place. So Thanksgiving 3 exists.
You're kidding.
But there's no Thanksgiving 2.
Oh, really? Goes
yes.
From 1 to 3?
There's no, it goes. So it says from the article from Trash Film Guru, because you know I love a bad film. It's 3 years and an impressive $100,000 later. So they did a Kickstarter for this.
Oh, wow.
They raised $100,000 and they made Thanksgiving 3. It's on Amazon apparently for $3.99 as a rental, probably overpriced. And then there's also apparently a DVD. So basically what happened with Thanksgiving 2 is it's just a prop for Thanksgiving 3.
Okay.
So the idea is that the script is so evil in Thanksgiving 2 that it could never be done. It only exists on paper, and the plot centers around everyone's efforts, around the efforts of everyone's favorite homicidal gobbler, Turkey. That's what he's called. Mm-hmm. That's a turkey with an IE. He's trying to kill his way through anyone and everyone that has ever seen, written, had a hand in, or tried to work on Thanksgiving 2.
That's okay. The
premise.
That's it.
Right.
Well, then in the stage version, I like the costuming of Turkey was a leather jacket.
Yes, a bomber jacket. Jeans.
And then a big turkey hat.
Yes. So in this movie, apparently it's mostly puppets.
Okay.
So I'll just read what it says here because I could not believe it. This is Thanksgiving. It's a non-trilogy because part two is missing. it says there's only one copy of Thanksgiving 2 that exists according to the film, and it's in the clutches of a group of raunchy puppets.
Oh.
So
what are they going to do with it?
I don't know. Okay. So Turkey, who's trying to kill everyone who's had a hand in this film, he kills a rapping grandmother, a grandmother who raps, another puppet.
Well, good. Because honestly, I don't like that kind of character.
A rapping granny. A puppet who's looking for a lost brain, and then a bisexual space worm, which I thought was a penis when I looked at the short film that I saw. So out to stop Turkey are a wig-bedecked inventor of something called the Pluckmaster 3000.
Okay.
The head of security at a place called Thanksgiving Land, and a wise turkey.
A wise turkey.
Yeah.
To
show him the way.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to watch the film before this podcast, but it's definitely something I'm going to look into because they also show you a place called Feather World and then a place called Turkey Hell.
Oh.
So I guess this is, you know, these are all a part of it. Yeah, so Thanksgiving 3.
All right. Look for it on Amazon.
There. Yeah, look for it on Amazon, I guess. Or
why
don't.
Not?
I don't know.
Well, you know, the trend on Thanksgiving now, it used to be just watch football, you eat food, and you kind of fall asleep on the floor.
Yeah. Try to avoid trichinosis.
Right.
with family members.
Yeah. Black Friday was the next day, and people would get up early and go to the store, but the stores started opening up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like at midnight.
And then earlier and earlier.
Yeah. It started at midnight on Thanksgiving, and then it went earlier, and at 11 and 10 and 8 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And
people are camping out.
Right.
Just to be clear, Katie and I are so old that we remember when stores used to close.
Yes. Stores were closed on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm.
And Sunday.
And you stayed with your family.
Yeah.
Or you went to your friend's house and everybody hung around.
You just hung around. You didn't spend any money.
I thought it was very, very newfangled when people went to the movies on Thanksgiving.
Yes, that was a big deal.
That was a very big deal for people to go. I was like, you're supposed to all stay home.
Yeah.
How
but
can
then
you
it
go
was,
out to
it
a
was
movie?
You go to the movies, but it first started out that your family goes to the movies.
Yes.
Because it used to be family films. So it would start off something like a Home Alone.
Right.
Or something like that would be out on Thanksgiving
right.
night.
Yeah, to kick off.
To kick off the holiday season.
Yes, yeah, right.
But there was no real shopping. And people at this point weren't really even, maybe in cities, I don't know, because I'm in a rural area. You're a little more urban than I am. Most people had food at home.
Yeah, it was in the suburbs. You ate at home.
Yeah, you ate at home.
You were with your family.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was it. There was nothing going on. In fact, you had to pray. If you were going to cook the meal, you better get it together a couple mm-hmm. days ahead of time. Because things would actually sell out in stores. That used to happen.
That's right.
Like, turkeys would be gone.
My mom would have a countdown list, like, the couple of weeks before the holidays.
Of the things
like,
you could get together beforehand.
Yeah, like, when to clean the house,
yeah.
and when to get out the silver and polish the silver and get the china out, and who was going to do what. And it was like it's an operation. She was the admiral.
I remember some people were like, okay, Aunt Addie's doing the cakes and the pies,
mm-hmm.
so that's going to be done, like, a day or two ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last thing you do is the turkey, the greens, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it was a huge production.
It's a big production, but now people then just get up from the table and go out shopping.
Yes, which is weird.
It is weird, and it's like, how can you do that? How do you have the energy to do that?
I don't know, because you've eaten all that turkey, mm-hmm. and you need a nap.
Right, you need a nap. You've had wine.
Yeah.
And then the person who cooked is sitting there like,
okay, bye, thanks.
Yeah, I've been up for 3 days cooking,
yep.
and now
everyone's
going to go and, yeah,
yep.
and get all the deals. So it says here that a new poll shows that over half Americans, 55%, maintain they are annoyed or very annoyed when stores are open.
I'm annoyed or very annoyed.
When new stores are open on Thanksgiving. But it's a big decline from 2014 when it was 65%. So people are still annoyed, but less annoyed.
Less
very annoyed.
Were the metrics the same?
The survey showed that Christmas creep, the annual push by retailers to introduce holiday supplies and entice shoppers to do Christmas shopping earlier each year, is also winning over more consumers. So know how annoying that is to see Christmas goods out on Halloween?
It's already happening.
Right.
The Halloween stuff is gone.
Yeah.
They already have the Christmas stuff. I'm like, did you guys forget about the Thanksgiving/fall decorating?
Yeah.
I guess it's not happening.
No, I guess it's but people are annoyed by Christmas creep, but not as annoyed as
they
have
been
to be.
In the past.
Right.
Well, what can you do? I saw a Halloween tree this year that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I heard about a Halloween tree and
yes.
There's another article that says stores realize it's dumb to open earlier and earlier on Thanksgiving.
Does it say it's dumb?
It's dumb.
It's just straight stupid.
Yeah, and there's a Save Thanksgiving campaign that resonates with many Americans.
Okay.
That they're more likely to shop at stores that stay closed on Thanksgiving. So if you're closed on Thanksgiving, then from Black Friday on, they're more or less 73% of them will shop at your store.
Okay. Because you were closed on Thanksgiving.
Yes, because they appreciate that.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, just don't go.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear what they're saying. There are a lot of stores right now. I've been reading that. There are a lot of stores are going to close for Thanksgiving. And I think that they're trying to couch it as we're going to close because we care about the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really just closing because they're not getting as much money
yeah.
as we were in the past because of these people who are what is that, annoyed or very annoyed
yeah.
about the fact that these places are open.
Yeah.
I have never gone on a Black Friday ever. I personally am at the point now where I online shopping has destroyed my love of like hitting the malls or hitting the streets for shopping. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it's just kind of, unless I'm looking for something really special, like a designer or, you know what I mean? Something where I feel like I really need to be there in person to look at it. For the
mm-hmm.
most part, I'll just order it online and leave it at that. I'm not going to go fight people.
I'm not either. I went shopping on Black Friday once, accidentally.
In a mall?
No, accidentally.
So you didn't really, you were just like, oh, I need to go get some stuff. I'm
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I had my phone. Something was up with my phone. So I was hungover and I had to go to the store
mm-hmm.
to get it.
Ooh, this sounds like a nightmare
yeah,
already.
Yeah,
you were
so
hungover on Black Friday?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then I was like, let me get this phone fixed. And then they tried to sell me a tablet, this weird tablet, which I bought.
It worked. Were you like, where am I?
And I was like, but this is dumb. And then I had it on my shelf, for weeks. And I'm like, get this out of here.
Was it a great deal, at least?
It was, like, a great deal. Yeah, okay. It was, like, supposedly a great deal. But I was, it was a terrible piece of equipment. So it wasn't a great deal.
I guess it worked out for them, for the store.
Yeah, but that's it. I won't do the...
I hope this year that no one gets killed on Black Friday, because it has happened in the past that people have been trampled at a Walmart or injured, you know, at a Target or something like this, trying to get to, like, a $5 toaster, which is ridiculous.
It's become now the family way to, the family thing to do, to interact with each other, is just to go shopping together.
That's just
instead of doing stuff.
Like, but did you, I mean, I don't have my family consists of two people. So you have a large family. Did you guys go shopping together?
No.
That seemed like that would be a nightmare for your mom.
No, we did
not.
To take
six kids shopping.
No. Even grocery shopping, six kids, she had to sit in the car.
Yeah. Because you guys would be grabbing everything. Yeah. You would have just Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what? Where's all the, like, vegetables and the meats? Like, no, just Fruity Pebbles.
Clothes shopping, forget it. No.
Yeah.
It was, here, I got this for you.
I think that parents, at least the parents I know who have young children, they like shopping online. Mm-hmm. Like, they're excited about it, and their kids know how to do it, too.
Yeah.
So their kids want something, they literally are like, can you go on Amazon and get this, like, Lego thing?
Yeah, but the idea of shopping, it's like, it's different. My nieces and nephews, they come to visit me in New York, and they want to go to the M&M store. They want to go
Okay, but that's more like an event for them, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know what? You're in New York, you're not going shopping. You're going to see theater.
Okay, yeah.
You're going to a museum.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how to hail a cab.
Maybe have some ethnic foods. Use the subway.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. Go see what different neighborhoods look like and show them some historic stuff.
Right.
Take the Staten Island Ferry, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
But
we're
can't they see that? Is there no M&M store in New Jersey?
Yeah. The thing is, it's not that it's even a novelty. It's the idea of, what are we going to do? We should shop.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because I feel like New Jersey, all right, so I went out to New Jersey two weekends ago with a friend of mine. And I was astounded by how much shopping could be done in Paramus alone. I was just like, it was great in one way, but then we were like, this is too much.
It is too much.
It and was that's, miles.
That's what I'm saying.
My feet hurt.
It is, it's the activity. Instead of taking a class, dancing, singing, writing, performing, you know, sports, something else.
It's shopping because that's the default of what there is to do. I get it. Okay.
You can't play, you have to shop.
Because I was thinking, like, if you like M&M's, I get it. I love Hello Kitty. Maybe there's someone out there who loves M&M's and those little weird characters that you eat the same kind of way. And there is the M&M stuff in New York, but it must be better in New Jersey because there's more space cheaper.
Yeah.
So you could have, like, an M&M universe in New Jersey, whereas in, you know, New York, it's like M&M County.
Yeah. But then what do you do? We're like, I was thinking, what did I do for fun on Thanksgiving? We all joked around. We laughed.
We hung out. Sometimes we would watch, what did my mom, I used to, Predator. Like, we'll watch, like, Alien. You know, we'll watch a movie that we had at home, like, something we've seen a million times, laugh at it, or just chit-chat, play a board game.
Yeah.
Or just catch up. Or, as we would say, cut up. Right. You know what I mean? Just, like, crack jokes on each other and talk about stuff.
Right. We would challenge each other to do things.
Feats of strength.
Basically.
Feats of strength. Festivus style.
I dare you. It's like, take a book off the shelf and do a dramatic reading. Just open up to a random page and, in your most serious, dramatic way, read a paragraph.
Oh, I like that.
It was funny.
That sounds like more fun than, like, fighting somebody in a Walmart over, like, some pillows made of lint.
So that's the Thanksgiving that I want.
I don't,
hijinks at home.
And now that we're older, I'm like, I think of the Thanksgiving as, you know, we all get together and then afterwards we crack open that Hennessy. And then the conversation just flows.
Right.
At that point, nobody is interested in going to a store.
Right.
And then I noticed my cousins, when we were a little bit younger, when they lived in an urban area, they would go to a club afterwards, which is kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
With like, your adult cousins. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Going to a club with your family. Nothing could be more amusing than that, in my mind.
All right, what do you have?
They got the four R's.
The four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat.
209 West 40th Street. # Clockline NYC.
So I have, I'm going to do a Tales from Dark Campfire, if you will give me an introduction.
Ah, yes. Tales from Dark Campfire is the segment wherein we find a ghost story, scary story, urban legend, myth, And we retell it here around the digital campfire.
All right. So gather around, everyone. This is a scary one from Creepypasta.
Okay. I'm getting scared.
I know. I was scared reading it, rereading it on the train on the way here. It's called The Blackstone Family Thanksgiving.
The Blackstone Family Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And this is credited to Star Hardgrove.
All right.
Because it's very well written, so I want to give that person credit.
Give them a gold star.
Yes. And it says, reading time, 4 minutes, and it's under murders and deaths.
Okay.
It was all over the papers, though no one really knew how the event unfolded. On the surface, it looked like a perfect Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The turkey was cooked to golden perfection. Steam still rose from the freshly baked dinner rolls, and the house was...
Sounds dysfunctional.
Yes. And the house was filled with the scent of cinnamon and melted butter from the pumpkin pie and candied yams. Each family member sat around the table dressed in their Sunday best, ready to enjoy the feast before them.
Sounds uncomfortable.
Yes, but it's about to get real uncomfortable. Yet this picturesque scene, which could have easily been the cover of a Home and Garden magazine, was revealed to be, under the surface, a gruesome tableau of a fallen family.
Oh.
Foul play was afoot.
Tableau.
Yes. This Thanksgiving, as five corpses sat around the untouched meal.
Ew.
Exactly. Claude and Mildred Blackstone, okay. If that isn't horrifying,
yeah.
Earned their money on the backs of hardworking indentured servants, I'm guessing the Irish,
yeah.
Who ran their plantation. Claude ruled the farm with an iron hand. I prefer fist.
Yeah, an iron hand.
An iron
wrist.
Yes. With a shapely cut of iron ankle, his wife had, during the day. And Mildred kept a household that was as strict as it was spotless.
All right.
The two ice-cold children.
She sounds like my kind of woman.
No.
Clean that house.
Which consisted of Braddy, Cynthia, and Toby.
How did Toby get in there?
I know.
With Claude.
So we have Claude, Mildred, Cynthia, and Toby. Toby, who earned a reputation for frequenting the servants' quarters at odd hours of the night.
How old is Toby's getting it on?
Yep, had just reached young adulthood. What age is that?
Young adulthood. It's 13.
Okay. The children occupied themselves with their own preoccupations, as one does when you occupy yourself, as did the rest of the Blackstone household.
So they were occupied.
Yes, they were. Uncle Percival.
Come on.
Claude's youngest brother was generally considered to be a good man.
Until he had a few drinks at Thanksgiving. Yes. And started saying racist stuff.
As the priest of a local parish of Farronville, but was not without his secrets.
Oh, of course.
Claude had recently taken ill with tuberculosis, because this is an old story.
All right.
And it was clear he was not long for this world. This had left Toby and Cynthia with a conundrum. Like, who would get the money, probably.
Oh, right.
They were the next of kin, and the fortune that they would stand to inherit was substantial. By the laws of the township... It was known that the entire fortune would go to Toby, being the firstborn.
The township
decided. I know. Let the town decide.
Yeah.
This, of course, did not sit well with Cynthia.
Of course.
And she soon began plotting to remove Toby from the picture.
It's a whole sexist thing.
Yeah.
Blowing up in everyone's faces.
This is BS. Yeah. This township. However, despite Toby's apparent thickness.
Excuse me?
That's what I'm thinking. Was he like a shapely? Like he was... BBW, or like his thickness. He was wise to his sister's plan. Oh, I think he's not very smart.
Okay.
I see what they're saying.
He was not wise.
I would say he was like chunky.
Yeah.
You know, like badonkadonk. That's what I said. His thickness.
Got like Flojo thighs.
Yeah. Like he's a substantial gentleman. So despite his thickness, he was wise to his sister's plan and developed his own. Cynthia's vanity would be her downfall.
That's right.
A simple tampering with her cosmetics.
Oh.
Would be the end for her. But not before Cynthia's knowledge of her brother's sweet tooth would have him find an added ingredient in his beloved saltwater taffy.
Oh my God.
I know. Both Blackstone children died silently in their sleep. Percival had always been jealous of Claude's secret success and affluence. And then and the thickness of his son, I guess. But most of all, his wife, also thick.
They're all thick. The thick family.
He had been in love with Mildred since they were children, but it was Claude who had won her heart, and they married young. Yeah, because Claude had all the money.
Yeah.
This guy's a simple preacher, a priest. Wait a minute, is he even allowed to marry?
Well, if he's like a Lutheran, sure.
Okay. Yet the passion had faded from their marriage years ago, and now Percival found himself making more and more house calls.
That's right.
Ooh, yeah. To the Blackstone home. house calls. No. I'm here to check on her spirit.
Right. How's that?
Her thick spirit.
Would you like me to read a gospel to you?
Yeah. A little psalm, maybe a psalm. Mm-hmm. He and Mildred met in the woods to confront their secret love for each other.
Oh, right.
Give it what for. But religion and family obligation.
Hate and place.
Yes. Kept them from fully reconciling their passion, despite Mildred's discovery of Claude's liaisons with the servants. So everybody's
with the servants.
Yeah. Percival would listen patiently as Mildred confessed her hate for her husband daily.
The servants are exhausted at this point. Everyone's
getting
knocking
the peace.
Up in my quarters.
Though he knew that Mildred was a woman scorned, she would never abandon her family. On the night before Thanksgiving, Percival came and met Claude in the kitchen, just as he was leaving their rendezvous with the head housekeeper. Claude's breath was stinking of whiskey.
Sure.
And Percival's patience was at an end. The hatred for the two had for one another in this moment climaxed from a low simmer to a rolling boil. Neither could suppress it any longer. I feel like they're into each other.
This is all hot stuff.
Yeah, but they're brothers. Claude swung at his brother and missed. Percival, reaching only for the only thing he could find, drove his crucifix into his brother's heart. I know. In horror of what he had done. So this is what, he's a priest. He's killed someone with a crucifix. So what has he done? What does he do next? Does he turn himself in?
Yeah.
No. He goes right back to his parish to pray.
Well...
When Mildred came down from her nightly cup of tea, she saw her husband dead on the floor, quickly called for the children. Well, you know, they're not going to come.
Yeah, because Toby's dead. Well, I was going to say Toby was with the maid.
No, they're all dead.
Oh, they're all dead now. Okay.
They died. So remember...
what did she... So
Toby ate candy that was poisoned, and then his sister...
Put on makeup that was poisoned.
So, the haunted lip gloss. Like, it's deadly. So Mildred comes down.
So they're like chemists, these kids.
They're amazing.
They put poison in that worked right away that nobody could detect.
Well, they got it from the Irish servants.
All right.
The tricky lot there. When they didn't answer, she ran up to their rooms only to discover each of them dead in their beds. Mildred screamed and wailed, crumbling to the floor in despair. However, moments later, as though nothing had happened, she rose, wiped her tears, calmly dragged the bodies of her children one by one. There's only two of them. One by one downstairs to the living room. First and then second.
Yeah.
She then gathered her husband's body from the kitchen. All night long, she prepared them. Dressed them in their finest. I know, I was like, as a meal? No. She dressed them in their finest clothes, cleaned their wounds, and arranged them around the table.
So we're having this Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I do not care.
I don't care. These servants have worked all night on this food. Percival spent the night praying in church, and the next morning came to the house ready to confront his sins. He's got their confrontations and to beg for forgiveness. As he reached the house, he called out for Mildred. Yo!
Mill.
He heard her familiar, elegant voice echo. In here.
Oh. In here.
In here.
Yeah.
The table was set for all of them, lifeless bodies around the Thanksgiving feast.
Ew.
A bottle rested between two glasses of wine. Percival's shock and confusion left him speechless. Although... all thoughts of his own confession left his mind.
Yeah.
Right. He forgot about it. He's like, you're going to have some
normal
food.
Yeah.
As he stammered to ask for an explanation, she smiled and handed him a glass of wine.
She's like, you're going down.
Drink, and we can all be a family again. So he drank, and the poison worked quickly. Mildred, finally, with her entire family, took her own glass in hand. Still with that sweet smile that had so charmed the late Percival, she drank. And she never screamed as the poison ate its way through her intestines.
Ew!
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well... It sounds a lot better than some of the Thanksgivings I've been to.
I know. See, this is when people ask, how do you deal with your family at Thanksgiving? See Mildred Blackstone.
Yeah, right.
Like, she knows how. How crazy is that?
That's a crazy story.
I know. And so everyone killed everyone else, and then in the end, Mildred just finished it all up.
Yeah, it was just like, this is done. And we're done. The whole family's
done.
So
my question is, the servants, were they just like, y'all, just hang back?
Right.
Just hang back and see how this plays out.
I think so.
We could get this house.
And the food.
And the food. Don't touch it. Don't touch the food. But we can get this house. So there's a house full of servants. Everyone's killing everyone all the time, but the servants don't.
Yeah, she's dragging the bodies
up. Yeah, they
don't
care. They're like, what's that? Oh, she's dragging bodies, girl. Don't be worried. She rings the bell, go up there, but otherwise forget it.
Yeah. Let the family deal with themselves.
Yes, let's do our jigs down here. Or whatever.
Right.
All right, what do you have?
I have 5 ways to put a modern spin on your Thanksgiving dinner. If you're not going to murder your family.
Yes, if you're not going to murder your family, or if you're not hiding in the basement waiting for your masters to do so.
then you can put a modern spin, a modern twist. Because if you're bored with the same old thing when it comes to Thanksgiving, we're here to help you change things up. Okay, here's some inspiring ideas that will shake up your Thanksgiving dinner.
I had better be inspired.
First of all, serve a signature festive cocktail.
Hell yeah!
That's it.
Well, I mean, duh. Yeah. As soon as people walk in the door at Thanksgiving, you need to put a drink in their hand.
Yes, right. We love the idea of champagne and apple cider cocktail.
Whose family is this? This is like the fanciest people ever.
Yeah, I know.
Champagne and cider?
Yeah, it's simple. Okay. It fits the season. It's elegant without putting people off or seeming pretentious.
Putting people off?
I'm off.
This beer has put me right off my stride. I am out of here. What?
It says, fill a champagne flute, 2/3 of champagne or a dry sparkling wine, and top the rest with apple cider.
Okay.
Float some pomegranate seeds in the glass for color. Serve the drink before dinner as the guests arrive.
I would do shots before dinner.
Yeah.
Like, I would do a shot for, so what is champagne and cider?
Apple cider.
So I would do give people a shot of Fireball and then move on to this.
I know. That's even better.
Kick it off.
That's even better.
They'd be like, we love Aunt Jaquetta's feast.
That's it. Surprise guests by taking traditional side dishes and giving them a more modern spin.
Okay.
I'm like, what?
Surprise!
Yeah. Instead of simply mashing potatoes, turnips, or sweet potatoes, serve a mixture of aromatic root vegetables.
Okay. Are people even going to notice?
Yeah, I know. Nobody's going to. It's like, so what? It's the same.
Great, yeah. Some broke-ass carrots braised. Right. With a clove stuck in it.
Please vegetarians with a quinoa salad.
Really?
I'm going to please
you. You know what?
With this.
Screw you. I'm a vegetarian. I'm so tired of quinoa. It's like, get that out of my face. At Thanksgiving?
Does this please you?
No.
All right.
I am not. Do I look pleased? Do I sound pleased? Right. Where's that Fireball? That's vegetarian also.
Set a seasonally stylish table.
Okay.
Come on. We all like to dress up the table.
Yeah.
Now, if you're usually drawn to darker hues and fall colors for your table...
Go Danglo orange.
Yeah. Switch to white and with bold pops of color like blues, greens, and purples.
White? No. Oh, my goodness. Then people are going to feel bad when they neck their glass of claret onto your table.
And this is the time for those autumnal colors.
Yes.
I say boo.
I say no. Boo on this. I don't like it at all.
It's modern, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
If everyone comes to your house for your famous turkey that no one can replicate, modernize the rest of the table and leave the turkey alone. But if you're looking for new ways to serve up your bird...
So the one thing that you could make the biggest splash with, they're like, just keep it like you always do.
Yeah, okay, everyone likes
don't
that.
Change so
don't
change
that. Don't spin
that. Don't ruin
but
that.
But here are the ways to switch it up.
Okay.
That you can grill turkey breasts and thighs instead of roasting a whole bird.
Huh.
But didn't we just say, leave the bird
leave
alone?
Leave the bird alone. Leave the bird be. Right?
Change up what you based your bird with.
Fireball.
And use Moroccan or Asian spices.
Okay.
No.
Be careful with that.
Say,
yeah.
What did we just tell you?
Just leave the bird alone. Yeah.
And don't serve turkey at all. Instead, serve roast chicken, pork loin, or even grilled fish. What did we just
say? Okay, yeah. Just leave it alone. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could, when they were saying make it modern, I was thinking of, like, maybe serve the turkey in a very avant-garde way. Like a Mies van der Rohe. Like, a, you know, kind of a mid-century modern way, or, you know.
Yeah. The only thing I do like is they
kind of
say
Picasso with, type of serving.
With the desserts, use, like, make little mini individual tarts.
Oh, okay. That's kind of
right.
Cool.
That's
fine.
Okay.
You know. I feel like just, I mean, I like making desserts, but when I'm having a lot of people over for something like this, sometimes I just leave it to the pros.
Yeah.
And they go to a bakery.
That's what I do.
You know, because you're not going to make anything better than you can get at a really nice local bakery in the New York area, I think.
Oh, yeah. And they're all trying to outdo each other.
Yeah.
So you're going to find something that's amazing.
Right? Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So I found something here. This is a cocktail, because I always think that, you know, start everything with a cocktail. I don't care if it's your day, a meal, whatever.
Yeah. Start it
negotiations.
With a cocktail, right.
I found this cocktail. It's called the Jimmy Roosevelt. I don't know who he is.
Jimmy Roosevelt.
The other Roosevelt.
Nobody talks about.
Yeah. No one talks about Teddy's little brother.
Jimmy.
Yeah. He was a quarter Asian, a quarter black. All Roosevelt. Jimmy Roosevelt. So this is... And I like this. It says, don't be fooled. This is a stiff drink. Now, Don't be fooled. This is a stiff drink is what it says. One sugar cube, Angostura bitters, 2 ounces. This makes one drink, by the way. 2 ounces of cognac.
Ooh.
2 ounces of champagne.
Oh.
1/4 ounce of chartreuse.
Wow.
Yes. Now, yes, that sounds stiff. That is 4.5 ounces or 4 1/4 ounces of liquor.
That's a lot.
Yeah, place a sugar cube in a coupe glass, soak with the bitters, add a handful of cracked ice cubes of cognac and top with champagne and drizzle with the chartreuse, and then add more ice. So I wanted to actually try this. I'm not a cocktail person because I think it's a lot of hassle, mm-hmm. and I don't have time. I'm trying to get drunk.
Yeah, it's like, just put the bottle of wine on the table and let's just...
That's how we do a cocktail. You pop a cork.
Yeah.
But I think I want to try this at Jimmy Roosevelt. I want to find out who Jimmy Roosevelt is.
Or open up the box of wine.
Yes. That's how. Nothing wrong with the box of wine. There's very good boxes out there. When I was in New Jersey, I went to a place called Total Wine.
Total Wine.
Total Wine. It was like a wine warehouse. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Total Wine, liquor, everything. And we went down the aisle where they have the, like, kind of wines to go. Mm-hmm. And I saw the man can. I don't know if we talked about this before.
I'm not sure. The man can.
It's a 4-pack. And it comes, usually wine in a can comes in a bottle that's kind of like a Red Bull size or mm-hmm. can or like a tab can because they want it to be like sleek. It's for yeah. ladies. It's thin. It's tall. But they have a man can. So it looks like it's just a regular beer can looking thing. And it says on it, man can
in
all
wine.
Caps. It's red wine. And then they have all these.
I like it.
They have all of these wine glasses that they tried to like butch it up by like drawing like a football on it. I'm like, boys, it's still a wine glass. You're still swirling around a nice Beaujolais. I don't care how many team logos you put on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not going to
change anything.
It's not
going
to make it any butch.
Yeah,
any
it's like wine for the game. Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just enjoy your wine.
Just enjoy your wine. It doesn't have to have, like, a dick on it. So that you know it's okay for you to enjoy your wine.
And, like, a bear and a shark.
Yes. It's like a bear or a shark. A guy taking a piss.
Yeah.
You know, and a fist.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Did you know that Thanksgiving is the busiest time all year for dating sites?
Really?
Yeah.
So everyone's trying to quick get someone to take to Thanksgiving dinner?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not Thanksgiving dinner. It's...
But that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Tinder is apparently on fire Thanksgiving. People are like,
really?
I need to get away from my family. I'm single. I got to get out. I got to find someone.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, it says here, according to data from Tinder, you may have extra luck if you live in Baltimore, New York,
is it
Provo,
that bad in Baltimore at the holidays?
Chicago or Boston, all cities that saw the most matches during Thanksgiving last year.
Ladies and gentlemen, you hear that? Go to Baltimore around Thanksgiving, get your hookup on. People are desperate.
Yeah. So if you normally don't have luck in those places, you might be a little more, have a little more to be thankful for.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
What they said it. I didn't say it.
Right. You merely presented it.
I did. And if your schedule's packed, there are still a few other months to take advantage in the surge in the dating app usage.
Okay.
Dating apps see the most activity between Christmas and Valentine's Day.
Okay, everyone try to lock it down.
Yep, matches new membership increasing by 60% during that time.
Wow, that's significant.
Yes. Yes, so whether it's due to longing for someone to snuggle up with when we're snowed in or the fear of showing up dateless at holiday parties, people are really on the prowl during the holidays.
I never thought when I was single, I was never afraid to show up somewhere single. I always thought it was a bonus because I'm thinking other single people are going to be there. I'm going to meet somebody here.
Right.
I got a chance here.
And it's all, yeah. It's
why bring sand to the beach? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. You meet people. people, though, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you meet people. So, yeah, everything's festive. Everyone's dressed up. They're a little more boozy.
Yeah.
Looking, you know, to kind of be do social, something different.
Yeah, mingle with people.
Right, right, right. But it's the other thing that I'll kind of, I guess I'll piggyback on this with talking about cuffing season.
Excuse me?
Cuffing season.
I object.
Have you not heard of this cuffing season? Yes.
I don't know.
Cuffing is...
How do you spell that?
C-U-F-F-I-N-G.
Just as I thought. Okay, what is cuffing?
Cuffing starts in the fall. It is when, you know, single people who want to be single, but they want to kind of still date, then they realize it's going to be too cold.
Okay.
To get out all the time. So they want to have one person that they're going to hook up with on the regular.
Uh-huh.
And have as a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever.
Why do they call it a cuff?
Because it's, I don't know why, actually. But,
you mean a cuff, like handcuffs?
I guess.
Or like off the
I guess it's like you're cuffed, I guess handcuffs. But the idea is that from November through March.
It's cuffing season.
It's
just about to start.
Yeah.
Everybody get ready for cuffing season.
Right.
How do I prepare?
Well, you're supposed to quickly find somebody to hook up with, and that's going to be your
Are you going
to
cuff them?
Your bang buddy.
For the next
couple of months, yeah. Because it's cold out. You don't want to depend on having to go out in the storms and
so
the cold.
So do you say, like, less cuff?
No, you just kind of, like, hook up with them, and then they're your steady partner.
Until the weather breaks.
The sun comes out again.
Until the sun comes out.
And then you're free. But the dangers are you could actually...
You continue to cuff when the season is over.
And develop feelings. And if you don't want to be in a relationship, if you want to keep things casual.
You got to be careful about this.
Yeah.
I've never heard of cuffing season before.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, welcome to the cuff.
Yeah. So the dating apps, that's why the usage spikes.
Okay.
Because people are looking for somebody to get down with.
Pre-cuff.
Yeah. No, as right now, we're on the verge of cuffing.
It's about to begin?
Well, actually, no. It's Thanksgiving, so we're in this.
The call of the cuff.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's like. I should throw a cuff party for single people I know.
Yeah, you should.
Get your cuff on.
Yeah.
But I'm going to spell it like...
With a K?
Yeah. Well, with a K? No, I'll do it like C period U period F period F period. That way people think it's an acronym.
Oh, okay.
And I can come up with something
for
it.
Okay. All right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good luck to people out there. So I have some, this is a weird thing. Traceable turkeys come just in time for Thanksgiving dinner. So this is on the backs of the idea that everybody now wants to know exactly where their food came from.
Oh, for God's sake.
Because apparently they don't. Now, I grew up in the country.
And they're the same people who are going to, like, eat a bag of Doritos without a peep.
Without thinking about it.
Yeah.
And knock it back with some Monster energy drink. Which is actually green, I think.
Yeah.
So, the people want to know exactly where their food comes from. I thought this was just kind of a, you know, an artisanal food thing, but now it's filtered down to Main Street. It says, this Thanksgiving season, Texas producer will be able to find out where the honeysuckle white turkey he puts in his shopping cart was raised. So, there's a guy named Daryl Glazer. He runs a turkey farm.
Mm-hmm.
So, when he goes to buy a turkey now that he's sold to some huge agribusiness, he can actually see if it's one of his turkeys or not.
Oh, God.
So turkey buyers in select Texas markets will be able to either text or enter on the Honeysuckle White website the code found on the tag of the packaged bird to find out where it was raised and to get information about the farm's location, view farm photos, and read the farmer's message. People, this is a trap of some sort. It's a trick. They just want information from you. Anytime an advertiser tells you to text them, it's so they can see where you are, what you're doing, and then track the hell out of you for the rest of your life. It says traceability allows us to connect with the customer.
Yeah, spy on the
and
customer.
And I think over time there has been a disconnect. We haven't been able to spy on people as much as we'd like to. People have kind of lost where their food comes from, and this is a way to reestablish that line of communication. I'm like, fast forward to the robot apocalypse where they have tiny little nano robots inside your turkey.
Right.
And then you text them and be like, I'm eating this turkey, and then you swallow the nanobot.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And you lost your free will.
Yeah. Glazer is an independent farmer, the guy from the top of the story, who raises 600,000 birds a year. Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
For Cargo, which is like a huge, nasty agribusiness company, Honeysuckle White brand. Have you ever heard this kind of turkey?
No.
He's among four Texas farmers participating in the market test. Traceable turkeys won't cost more than the untagged birds. And it says it will assess its effectiveness and value to determine further implementation of the digital technology and any price adjustments. Why can't people just fucking eat a turkey? Why does it have to always be creepy Big Brother stuff?
It starts with that self-righteous attitude, like, I have to know where this turkey was. Was it free range?
But no.
Was it grass-fed?
And that's fine if you want to know that, but then that means that you're going to buy your turkey, like, from a farmer.
Yeah.
Which you can do. In New Jersey, you can go to a turkey farm, you know, and buy a turkey if that's what you're interested in. But don't think you're going to buy it in the supermarket and get the same kind of, like, you know. My turkey's name was Phyllis.
Yeah.
And Phyllis had a sister. It's like, no. They enjoyed long walks by the feed or whatever. And they were slaughtered while they were looking away.
Yeah. In a humane manner.
In a humane manner.
Their throats were slit.
Their heads were pulled off.
Yes.
Humanely.
Right.
So it's big. It says here, the director of a Kansas Rural Center, which is an advocacy organization that promotes ecologically and socially responsible food. She said, look, when big companies see that there's success, what small farmers are having, they're going to jump on it and try to make money off of it. That's all it is. So, like, a lot of small farmers were trying to just advertise themselves as, like, hey, know about our farm. Like, here, you know, Katie and Jaquetta Farm.
Yeah, right.
This is what we're doing. Come check us out. Come buy our product. Like, see our business like you would anywhere else. And it's becoming popular. So then large companies are like, how can we capitalize on this? We don't want to show people our horror show where it's like, you know, chained turkeys looking down, being yelled at. Yes, being yelled at. You know, you're shit. Made to feel bad about who they are. Yeah. And then pulling their heads off. So, yeah, you could trace your turkey, and then your turkey can trace you, apparently. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. All right, what do you have?
I just have a couple of turkey facts. So, over the years, we've done this Thanksgiving show, and we have done the facts, but these are some that I don't
I can't recall. Believe there are some facts that we haven't covered. Are these factoids?
Yes.
Are these facts?
These are actual facts.
These are actually facts, okay.
Let's see, for Black Friday.
Okay.
Are you going to go shopping? Well, not if you're a plumber.
Huh? Really?
Yes. Black Friday is the busiest day of the year for plumbers.
That's disgusting.
Yes. After all, someone has to clean up after the household guests overwhelm the system.
I have never had to call a plumber after a holiday. Have you?
Yes. At our house?
Because there's so many people.
And plus everybody else coming over.
Is it that there's got to be another way?
Our septic used to back up on the lawn.
Jeez. So, I mean, I'm imagining, because you were in a development, you were not the only people who had this problem.
Yeah, no, right. It was not, they didn't have sewer systems. You had a tank for your...
Yeah, that's what I grew up with, tank. Yeah. But everyone in your community has a tank.
Yeah, that's what
it was. So I'm sure everyone, like, they didn't have a Thanksgiving.
It switched to the sewer system, not a tank anymore. So it's, you know...
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
Our plumber's just waiting at the end of the cul-de-sac, like, I'm here. The
plumbers never get a Black Friday deal. They're busy.
They're busy. I would jack my rates up on Black Friday.
As for the sounds that turkeys make, only male turkeys gobble. Mm. And male turkeys are called toms. Females called hens.
And what do they say?
They cackle.
They cackle?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't like turkeys. They're nasty.
Yeah. Okay, and why is it called a turkey? All right.
That's his name?
Back in the day, the Europeans took a liking to the guinea fowls imported to the continent. Since the birds were imported by Turkish merchants, English called them turkeys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Later,
that's fascinating.
When Spaniards came to America, they found a bird that tasted like those guinea fowls, and they were sent to Europe, and the English called those birds turkeys as well.
I remember hearing about people eating guinea fowl when I was a kid. Is that something you ever heard about?
I never heard about it.
I heard about guinea fowl and also Cornish hens.
Cornish hens,
really popular
when
I was growing up. And a lot of people would do that in lieu of turkey.
I thought that Cornish hens were for fancy dinner parties.
I did too.
Yeah.
And that was like something that so if you had a smaller family where I was from, a turkey might be too much. Say there's just four of you. Right? Like a brother, sister, mother, father. Mm-hmm. You would just do a couple of Cornish hens. And people used to go all out with them. You can make them really fancy. You can stuff them with all kinds of stuff. Apparently the meat is really good and sweet. And it's easier to deal with than a turkey.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's and, like your yeah. own personal
Yeah, your own little
pizza.
Bird. Because yeah. I just remember hearing horror stories about people that the turkey wasn't cooked all the way.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's like, that's it.
We've had that happen.
It's a disaster. Like, it happens to everybody at least once.
There's pink in this turkey.
Yeah.
And then it was like, what do you do? Don't eat it.
Yeah,
it
you don't eat it.
It's on the plate.
It's done. Like, that's it. Because yeah. I don't know if you can put it back in at that point. Because it's
everyone just drinks wine and eats potatoes.
Yeah. You bring out the Cornish hens. Right. So do you have plans for Thanksgiving?
What am I doing? Probably eating food somewhere. I'm sure. What about you?
We're going to Montreal because not only do we not like Thanksgiving, apparently we don't like America. So we are escaping the holiday all together. We're going to Montreal and we are having dinner at a type of restaurant. I've never had Portuguese food before.
Oh.
I don't know if you have. Maybe there's Portuguese people where you're from.
I don't think
so. I've never been to a Portuguese restaurant. I've never had Portuguese food. I don't know anything about it at all.
It's going to be an adventure.
Yeah. And I picked a place that has a huge menu. Okay. So it's not like I'm going to a place that serves like one particular thing, mm-hmm. so we can try a bunch of different things and just experience Portuguese food. I know they got some slamming wine.
All right.
I've had Portuguese wine.
That sounds nice.
And I just thought it was weird that I'd never, I try to think of like something I'd never had, I've never had before.
That's a great idea. Are you going to meet up with our podcast friends in the great White North?
They are not there. They moved.
Oh.
We had some podcast friends, Chonila. I think they're still doing their podcast, but they are no longer in Montreal. They are now in Toronto.
Oh.
I know.
Bummer.
Sadly. So yeah, we will just be up there bumming around Montreal and enjoying the Great White North.
All right.
En français.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy
everyone.
Thanksgiving.
All my friends are dead, and my dad is too, but I'm still alive and I am here with you. Though I'm drenched in blood and a sordid gore, there is still so much I am thankful for. If I squint my eyes.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Dreams they have in store.